Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in the great gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. And we celebrate his birth this night in the festival of the Nativity. And we pray now, Lord, you will be glorified in our worship of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we get into the sermon itself, I have a little preface. Last year, I guess it was around November, the Lord told me that 2018 was going to be a really difficult year. Little did I know. But I was praying about that and whether that was coming to an end or not. And I asked the Lord, just give me some kind of word about which direction we're going, what you want us to be doing. And the Lord said that he was going to do a new thing. And I said, well, I need some kind of confirmation of this. And he gave me two scriptures, Isaiah 42:8-9. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And then he gave me a second scripture, Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And so as I prayed through those scriptures, I was asking for some kind of sign. It would just be nice to have something to indicate that something new was going to happen in the next year. And got home from church yesterday and opened my email. And there was an email from the patriarch. Now, mind you, I had invited him 2 years ago to come and visit our parish. And he said he was going to be here on April 7th, and he will be with our parish on April 7th. And I'm like, okay, that'll be a new thing. We'll see. So, keep your eyes and your ears and your minds and your spirits and your hearts open. Well, the Lord says he's going to do a new thing. Well, yesterday, believe it or not, it was only yesterday, David was preaching, and he told us about train wrecks, and specifically train wrecks associated with the Magnificat. And you got to remember, too, that at the time Mary got that word, and she was visiting her sister Elizabeth, that was difficult times. Israel was under Roman rule, and she was pregnant out of wedlock, and you know there was some tough times that were going on at that point for her. But the answer that was coming was in a baby. Now, that's not what anyone was expecting as an answer to all the problems that were going on around the world at that point in time. But the answer was a baby. Wow. And then David also told us a little bit about Silent Night and the story about Silent Night. And, you know, the power of how you said that a song is you can feel the thought. You can feel the thought. And that in Silent Night, in singing Silent Night, there's just this incredible peace that can come over a tumultuous time. That's not necessarily what you would be looking for in a battlefield in World War I or in a rowdy bar in a country western place. But, you know, it works because there's something potent and powerful happening in those things. And David and I actually had been talking on Saturday before either one of us were scheduled, or before either one of us were to preach. And I was telling him that I was actually working on the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? And I don't know how many of you know the story behind Do You Hear What I Hear? I thought it was an old song. I didn't realize it was actually written as a prayer for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis. 1962, October of 1962 was when that song was written. And it was written by a man, interestingly enough, named Noel Regney. He was French, actually, and he has an interesting story too. He was French, and when the Nazis overran France, they conscripted all sorts of people into the Nazi army. He was conscripted, but he fled from the army and joined the French underground. And so he has quite an incredible story to tell, but he also saw the horrors of war up front. And so with the threat of nuclear annihilation over this entire nation at that time, he really felt it deep in his spirit. And being Roman Catholic, he knew that the only hope that was there was in a baby, in Jesus. He had been asked by his producer to write a Christmas carol, and he had told him, absolutely not, I will not do that. And the Lord said, oh yeah, you will. Which is interesting because his wife was the one who usually wrote the lyrics and he wrote the music. This time he wrote the lyrics and she wrote the music. But we have what we have now. Do you hear what I hear? And when that was first published, it was recorded by the Harry Simone Chorale in 1962. Came out at Thanksgiving, and people would hear that coming over the radio. Actually, it was intended to be the flip side of a carol 45 for those. That's vinyl, okay? Anyway. Yeah, you know, with the big hole in the middle. You know, that's the, you got it. That's the one. Anyway, it was supposed to be the flip side, which is the one that's not usually played on the radio, but this is the one that all the DJs were playing on the radio at the time. And people would, you would see people driving down the road. The radio would come on with this song, and literally people would be driving off the road and parking and crying. It was that much, it had that much power to it. And then, of course, the following year, Bing Crosby recorded it, and it went international. Just in that first week after it was released in November, right at Thanksgiving, a quarter of a million copies were sold in 1 week.
Which for back then
is a lot. That's a lot. You bet that's a lot. So anyway, and since then, tens of millions of recordings have been made. Hundreds of people have done covers of it. So it's just an incredibly powerful song. And we will be singing that. Is that not right? At the offertory. Okay, good.
So you don't have to sing it. Yay.
That's a good thing. I don't need to sing anything tonight. Anyway. But in the song, and there's a nice progression there that you, do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. This really wonderful progression there. So, but Noel Regney did tell an interviewer once, I'm amazed that people can think they know this song and not know that it is a prayer for peace. But we are so bombarded by sounds and our attention spans are so short. Let us hope and pray that when it is sung in churches worldwide during the Christmas season, that this song of peace will remind us that the child sleeping in the night came to bring us goodness and light. What a wonderful statement. This recognition that, you know, the outside, we're not going to change the outside circumstances. But Jesus in us can change us to deal with those outside circumstances. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 11. An angel appears to the shepherds. And he says to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now, when I was reading this and preparing for this sermon, you all remember Deacon Schneider, and he used to always read it out of the KJV because he said it just didn't sound right when you read it out of the NIV. And, of course, the KJV says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so I was reading that. I mean, I was remembering that, and then I was reading this, and I was going, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests," does not sound like the same thing. So I went to the Greek, I looked it up, and here is the literal Greek, okay? "Glory in highest to God, and upon earth peace in men goodwill." Now, if you put that into decent English, but keep the word order, "Glory in the highest heaven to God, and upon earth peace in men of goodwill." That's very different from what you find in the KJV. Okay? So what it's basically saying, and what we need to understand out of this, is that peace is going to come to those who are in right relationship with God. That's really what it's saying. Because the glory, because Jesus is already born, when the angels sing this song, they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in heaven. Because Jesus is born, now there is hope for all mankind." So glory to God that he has fulfilled his promise and he has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Glory to God in the highest. And because he is born, those who are in right relationship with him will know his peace. Do you hear that? That's what this is actually saying. And so the angel, he comes, he gives this message to the shepherds. You know, you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then all these angels start singing all this glory and praise to God. And then when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Wow, that was weird." That's really probably what they were saying. What was that? They don't put that part in here. That's just, you got to read between these lines to see that. But, you know, "So, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They had a message that was given to them. Did you hear what I heard? And then they answered and they responded to the message that the angel gave to them, and they went to Bethlehem. And they were rewarded by, "Did you see what I saw?" And as they left, "Do you know what I know? Wow." Tremendous message. Every message that's given, if we are listening, we can hear the message. But it does require, every message requires a response. Every message requires some kind of us looking back to God and saying, "Whatever it is you want, Lord, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." We've got to be willing to be challenged, though, in the same way that it may sound really weird. Why should I go look at a baby in a manger? What am I going to get out of seeing a baby in a manger? Miranda told me about one that she'd seen on Facebook where a cow was looking to another animal and saying,
"Two donkeys looking."
Oh, two donkeys looking. Well, there's a baby in the salad. I mean, yeah, okay. You know, it's really weird. And sometimes God says to us something that's really weird. Actually, David, I'll still, he gave me a word. Was that 2 weeks ago? Yeah, it was. Two Sundays ago. About a whirlwind. And I'm like, I need more information. That's not enough. I don't know what to do with that. So he says, oh, it's blue. Oh, that's helpful. And then he confirmed it. So it was blue. Great.
Which is really helpful for Bill.
Can't see color. Yeah.
He saw what I saw.
Did he hear what you heard? Now I need to know what you know. Anyway, sometimes these words are really weird, and we have to be willing to be challenged. And as I was saying Sunday before last, we've got to be willing to look at things with a different perspective and say, wait a minute, I may not be right about this. You know, there may be something else that I need to understand about this. Just like Noel Regney was saying, I'm not going to write a Christmas song. Oh, yeah? Lord of Heaven laughed. You know? But we've got to listen. And listen not just with our ears, which is good because my hearing aid's about to fall out. We've got to listen not just with our ears, but we have to listen with our spirits. To be willing to be challenged, to hear what God is saying. Think about the apostles when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John went up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, and when they saw Jesus transfigured before their eyes, they were probably a little bit more than just scared. They were probably really confused about what was going on here. But what did Jesus say to them? Or what did God say to them in the cloud, I should say? He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." He's not going to give us the whole game plan. He wants us to be in right relationship with him, to walk with him, and to trust him. The world is going to continue to go on in its ill-advised ways. And we're not going to change the things that are of this world by our own power. What will be able to be changed is our heart and the way we respond to those things, because God in his mercy has sent his Son Jesus Christ to be born for us in a manger, that he would grow, he would give us his Spirit, he would die, he would be resurrected, and oh my God, we have hope and promise, and the promise of peace and the comfort of his Spirit. That is an awesome message of Christmas. Proverbs 1:33. It says, "He who listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease without dread of evil." He who listens to me will dwell secure. And will be at ease. I don't know about you, but I would really love to be at ease. Without dread of evil. When we're walking through this world, we're surrounded by this stuff. But if we are in a right relationship with God and listening to him as we walk this path, then we will dwell secure in him. We will hear. We will know. We will see. As he sees, not as the world sees. Let me conclude by looking at the Old Testament lesson real quick. In Isaiah chapter 52. And I find it very interesting too that this passage, which I'm about to read to you, comes right before the last of the servant songs. There's not an accident there. There is hope, but it comes at a cost. The cost that God was willing to pay that we might be one with him. Now that's good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the mountains. That's the herald. The herald is coming. He's hollering as he's running across the plains to the fortified city of Jerusalem. And he's calling out, your God reigns! Your God reigns! And then in verse 8, you have the perspective from on top of the battlements, looking out at this herald running across the plains, saying, listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. Why are they shouting for joy? Because their God reigns. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good news. And when the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. And skip down to verse 10. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And actually the wording there in the Hebrew is, at the ends of the earth will be the glory of God. As the watchmen are watching, they're crying out to all the people underneath, behind them, in the battlements in Jerusalem. They hear the message, your God reigns, and then they call out the tidings, the good news, and what erupts are shouts of jubilation. Together they shout for joy, it says. And when the Lord returns, they will see it with their own eyes. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? And then the promise. And all the ends of the earth will see the glory of God. And they will know what I know. In the passage in Hebrews today too, it's one of those that you kind of get it lost in everything that follows, where there's the comparison of Jesus and the angels. But don't forget in verse 2. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Do you know what I know? Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Mary was there through the whole thing. And what does it say that she did? She pondered these things in her heart. Ponder tonight these things in your heart. See what you'll see. Hear what you'll hear. Know what you will know, and ponder these things in your heart. For Jesus came to bring us goodness and light. Amen.